September the 16th. My paper is blank. Well, you getting ready to run? You're just sliding the chair around.
The door's getting closer.
Okay. Karen Diemer is with us from the lovely burg of Arcata. Karen's the Environmental Services Director for the city. This afternoon, we got a bunch of different things to talk about, including garbage.
Seemed like a good topic to start
or
with.
Or garbage, if you want an attitude to start with. I've got mine ready. You got your attitude ready?
We do, because we call it discards now. It doesn't necessarily have to go to the landfill.
Oh, it's not even garbage. Okay, we're upgrading when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer, but before we do our quote this afternoon, this is a cool, it's really not a summery, sweltery quote, but it's still a good quote about food. Barbara Kostrakin in 1984, quote, "In the childhood memories of every good cook, there's a large kitchen, a warm stove, a simmering pot, and mom." Isn't that cool?
That is.
I like that one. Yeah.
This time of year.
Yeah, I'm not really thinking of stew at this point, though. I'm thinking more of like maybe popsicles.
Popsicles, corn on the cob.
Yeah. Anything that's cold, okay, give it to me. It's okay. Oh. Now, I said garbage. I thought you were going to say refuge, but now you're, what's the new term?
Discards, so things that you're getting rid of, and there's a number of ways that you can treat those discards.
Does the state have increasing quotas or decreasing quotas of discards that cities are having to deal with? Because was it a couple years ago, it was reduce it by 50%, and then it was big asterisk, if this is, blah, 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 and you had all the qualifiers that were there.
Yeah. We're still under the 50% mandate, and the city of Arcata has been reaching that mandate for several years. Every year we're seeing additional pieces of legislation that are introduced, trying to take that to 75%.
Can anybody hit 75%?
With the right programs in place. I mean, I think you're seeing cities that have many of them, such as Arcata, that has a zero waste goal. And right now a good portion of our waste stream is organics. It's food waste and green waste. And so by looking
at... And those count? To me, those are like mulch pile.
Right. Well, green waste, the majority, I would say 90% of the green waste in Arcata goes towards, you know, some sort of recyclable, compostable, or biofuel.
Put it in the grinder and,
right.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
But a lot of food waste, I would say at least 25 to 30% of the weight of a garbage can at this point in Arcata is food waste. So, yes, that counts a lot. So major cities have the funding sources at this point to start curbside collection of that. And I think ultimately we are going to see organics collected at the curb in Humboldt County. That mandate has not come down yet. But to get to zero waste, we are going to have to start to really deal with the organics and the food waste, both from restaurants, commercial establishments, but also from the residential sector. So eventually we will get there.
You think really zero?
I think we'll get, not to zero, but I think that we will get close. Yeah, to get to zero, we really need to support the efforts of sort of the Product Stewardship Council in terms of starting to regulate packaging materials, starting to regulate the products as they come out to the shelves and how they're distributed to the consumer, because we end up with all this really bulky waste that at this point we don't have a way to recycle or reuse. So if we could encourage producers to use recyclable materials in their packaging, we'd go a long way towards getting to zero waste.
What are you doing time for? An apple core. Yeah. What?
But to start with, Arcata is looking at a few changes in our current collection system to address bulky items. So appliances, mattresses, sofas, Lazy Boy chairs. Arcata seems to at least a couple of times a year have an extensive number of those on the streets
corners. The end of May, perhaps?
End of May and the end of December. Move in and move out is a big time for us, but actually we're seeing an increase in huge bulky waste, whether it's mattresses or microwaves that seem to be hitting the street corners.
Now, you've been around long enough. Is this a reflection of the increase in the fees to take it to the dump or transfer station or whatever we're going to call it? These large bulky things, is it just people being flat out lazy? Is it something else?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. I think in part it's fees associated with the landfill. I think in part we have a large student population and they're coming from communities that are used to having this type of pickup at the curb and they just really don't know what to do with it as they're getting ready to leave.
Take it to the dump?
Right, take
That's
it to the dump.
That's a little too complicated
but
for our college graduates? Yeah.
Well, we don't have a dump in Arcata, so I think they look around and, I don't know. I know that we have community members, as we talked about, that walk around and clean up garbage all day because that's the type of community citizen they are.
But unfortunately, they have the opportunity to do that.
But unfortunately, so that's one of the big changes.
So this program, is it weekly, monthly, quarterly?
A couple times a year. People could call in and let our kid of garbage know we're going to put bulky items out at the curb. They'll throw a tag on them, and then they'll get picked up with their regular collection.
How much is that going to add to the monthly collection fee?
Yeah. At this point, we think that we're going to include it into the service at no additional charge. So we instituted collection of curbside recyclables several years ago. We had a 3-year reopener to sit down and look at the cost associated with that. And what we learned is that we had more, actually, new customers coming on, so we had a little additional revenue, and the cost to implement that curbside was not quite as high as we had all projected. So we had a little bit of money in the system, so we looked at what are the service amenities that our citizens have been asking for, and a voluntary collection of green waste. We do have free drop-off of green waste, but we have a lot of people in Arcata that don't have a little truck that they can get their green waste out to.
Just a pile of cuttings and that kind of stuff? They need to be in bags? What?
They'll be in a tote. They'll get a 96-gallon tote like you get right now for, recyclables without the divider in the middle. And they'll just, you'll wheel that tote out just like you would your garbage tote, and that will get picked up. The city of Eureka has had this program for several years, and they're actually getting pretty good participation.
So they charge?
$4 a month for a weekly pickup of green waste. It's pretty low. So we're modeling our program after that. I think
you've
it's
had
really
somebody
low.
Say that before, haven't you? Well, you didn't even skip a beat.
Yeah, I just think that's an unbelievably low price.
Well, we just put it in the garbage can.
Right, but what we
make
find,
it dump run every once in a while. It was interesting when I was in Ohio a couple of years ago. They have leave day.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, and of course they got more trees, but they dump a bunch of leaves. And they just come by, and you just are sure you don't park your car on the street.
Car on the side of the road, yeah.
And they come through, and they got the little super suction machine, and they just clean it up. And this is a town of 20,000, so it's certainly an interesting concept to consider.
Yeah, it definitely works. I grew up with leave day also, but we got to jump in the leave piles first before we move into the curb.
It's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. Karen, garbage certainly is changing, evolving, things of that nature. 25 years ago, if we would have said, okay, we're going to take your garbage cans and you're going to get 1/4 the amount of space. There had been riots and all kinds of fun stuff, right? Okay. So the concept of seeing that come to fruition is kind of a little... intriguing and disturbing at the same time. Where is the benchmark? How do you know 50% or 75% or 10%? How do you, what's that reference point that's used?
Right, the reference point really is pounds of garbage. And the state has a formula of pounds per garbage based on the population of each city. And so it's really what ends up in the landfill. So anything that you can divert before it goes to the landfill works in your favor, but the numbers come down to how many tons, how many pounds do you actually deliver to a landfill each year from your community.
Does San Francisco, per person per pound, have the same number that LA has per person per pound, that Blue Lake has per person per pound?
All of the cities have pretty different numbers at this point. And a lot of it stems from, you know, what their baselines were, you know, to start with, of how much they were able to divert in the first place. We've always said Arcata has struggled meeting our, we've made our 50% and we've now exceeded that. But it was harder for us to start because we had a real low per capita discard rate to begin with.
If you're an early adapter, right, you get hammered.
Right. And so the state did move to this more formula metric concept where we're a little bit more on par with the rest of the state now, and then our numbers really shot up when we look at it on a per person basis of just discards each year versus what our original baseline was in 1990 and then trying to divert down from there.
The green waste, or I guess we used to call it landscape cuttings,
mm-hmm.
or
you can still call it landscape cuttings, yeah.
Bushes, that kind of stuff. What happens to those? I mean, we've seen them get ground up, mm-hmm. you know, and they're processed, and then we have a lot of the fertilizer guys in the neighborhood. Do they somehow connect, or what happens to the pine branches that you cut down and they go to the dump and then you know something happens to them?
Right.
What happens?
Right. Green waste, one of two things happens with all of our green waste if you take it into a recycling facility. One is it goes for biofuels to one of the biomass plants in the area, or two, it gets composted into fertilizer, into compost that then gets resold at, you know, a number of local areas. In Arcata, everything gets taken out to West Green and West End Compost, and then is sold right there on site, you know, turned into compost and then sold back out to local
gardeners.
Also,
it doesn't
gardeners.
Go to Fairhaven at all?
Some of it has been diverted at times to Blue Lake when they've needed material, depending on, you know, their production rates and how they're producing and selling. But most of it right now is being turned into compost and resold right on site.
What's ideal? I mean, I'm sure that the state has got brownie points for this and brownie points for that. What do they see as the ideal for landscape materials? Is it the composting or is it the fuel? What do they put a higher priority on?
Yeah, I would say ideal is that individual properties can manage it themselves. If you don't have to transport the material, then you have the lowest carbon footprint associated with that material.
So a fire in the backyard would work?
Not a fire in the backyard. That is not a good solution, especially not this year.
Yeah, no, not this year. Okay. Point taken.
But if you can mow your lawn often enough that you can just leave the clippings and they can just recirculate back into the lawn and decompose and fertilize your own lawn, that's going to be your number one.
But that's not a slash burn.
But no slash burns, no. Absolutely not this year.
Even with blackberries?
Even burning doesn't take out the blackberries.
Aren't those things amazing?
You need goats. Know. Definitely need goats.
Well, or what's that morning glory? The little viney thing with the mm-hmm. that just takes over and
mm-hmm.
then,
goats.
Yeah, but the lawn takes a beating with a goat, too.
The lawn does take a beating with a goat. But the neighborhood children love it.
Yeah, I wonder how a goat would work with a dog.
Sometimes well.
Sometimes. Barbecue. So the new standard, the 25% goal, is being seriously considered at the state?
Yes, we see serious legislation every single year trying to push us to divert at least 75% of our waste. So that is the direction. And the city is, you know, close to 60% now. So, you know, we're continuing to inch. Our council has had a goal towards zero waste for a number of years. So every single year we're looking at provisions, whether it's through our contract with Arcata Garbage or whether it's through outreach and education. I mean, we sell very inexpensively for $20. You can come in and purchase a compost bin because we recognize whether it's food waste and grass clippings, the easiest way and the least carbon footprint way to deal with that is right in your own backyard. And we have a couple hundred that we sell every year to our residents. And we've been doing this for at least 10 years. So that's, you know, a couple thousand compost now, bins.
Yeah, you don't find those out on the sidewalk at the end of May and
we
at the
don't.
End of December.
We don't. We have to say, to my knowledge, we've never picked up a used compost bin on the street corner next to the sofa.
You're like, yeah. Perfect end table. you guys don't have the plastic bags, right? In the grocery stores?
We don't.
Nope. In the
retail. All of our groceries.
How is that working? Is that?
It has been very smooth. Okay. And we have gotten less than a half a dozen phone calls from citizens that are concerned about one thing or the other.
Does that work to retail also? Or the larger retailers able to have the plastic bags? Or is it just grocery stores?
All retailers in Arcata have to eliminate the use of single-use plastic bags. So you can still go into the produce sections. You can still buy your nuts, your bulk goods, and they can have plastic bags.
I went back to
the
dog thing, sorry.
Yeah.
Multiple use. KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer, Environmental Services Director from the city of Arcata. So we kind of exhausted garbage, right?
Or, I think so.
Or discards.
We have a lot of other fun things happening in Arcata.
More than plastic recycling bins and lazy boys on the sidewalk?
Just a couple things we should touch on anyway.
Fair enough. How has the plaza been for the last little bit? I know, with Randy's not being in charge anymore, Tom, I know, has talked to Police Chief Tom, has talked about it. The Fire Chief has talked a bit about it. Maybe I'm out of the loop, but is the plaza still being used as the kind of the center point for the Arcata community?
This is the plaza's premier season, I would say. I mean, we really are coming into festival season, whether it's, this weekend, the North Country Fair, moving into Pastels on the Plaza. So in terms of our economic drivers in Arcata, this is the prime time for the plaza. And that level of activity, I think, is what brings the community back to the plaza. And then the community feels comfortable coming to the weekends and at the festivals. And then we start seeing the community come out in the evenings. We're seeing a real uptick of just general activities, whether it's the juggling club or the taekwondo club or a lot of different small groups. I'm seeing of 5 to 15 people, because the weather has been so beautiful, coming out using the plaza in the evenings to just practice with a few of their friends.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
But nice guys hanging out instead of other options.
Yeah, and I think, this is the time where the plaza makes the community a lot of money. I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars will be shifting hands in the plaza over the next 16 weeks. So it's the time that
through our retail and restaurant community.
Well, and through the festivals. I mean, the vendors and, But I think there's still some squares for Pastels on the Plaza that you could purchase for the North Coast Children's Services.
So. No, that's still through Arcata Sunrise Rotary?
In partnership with North Coast Children's Services. I think all of the proceeds go to the Children's Services. Yeah.
I just lost it. I want to say what I say, and I'm not supposed to say it that way. Let's say the building, community center.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say the place in the swamp, and I know that's not necessarily embraced by everybody.
And it doesn't look like a swamp this year.
Yeah, I know. It's more like, hard pack.
Yeah.
Is that building doing what everybody was hoping that it would do? Is the community embracing that also and using it for the various events and activities as much as it was hoped for when it was initially put forth as a concept?
Yeah, I think 10 times more than anybody ever would have hoped for. I mean, that building is programmed almost every single day of the year. I think we do close Christmas. We tend to not even be able to close New Year's Eve. You know, there is constantly something in that facility. And again, you know, the city might not see huge revenues coming in, but literally millions of dollars transfer hands for local nonprofits and local community clubs in that facility every year as they use it for their fundraisers. People use it for their, you know, birthday parties, quinceañeras, weddings, and then all of the other recreational activities, including then daily senior lunch. So all of the Humboldt Senior Resource programs, we leverage their free use of that facility to garner the rest of the state and federal monies in to provide services for seniors.
With that as a backdrop, are there any plans to have an additional building, expand it, maybe take the old one and blow it up and do something different? I mean, because it seems like if there's that kind of pent-up demand, boy, yeah, more additional opportunities for more folks to be able to do stuff in the
right.
city.
Originally, we were going to sell the old community center to help pay for the new community center. I mean, this was 15 years ago. So the council spent a couple of years looking at that and then took that off the table. So what we have done in the last 5 years is put some resources into rehabilitating the old community center. So it is a more viable facility for both our recreation programs as well as for a lot of meetings that fit more of the 100 to 150 people, where the community center can feel a little vacuous to only have 100 or 200 people in the gym.
Well, I was thinking parking.
Yeah. Parking's always a challenge. Yeah.
More interaction with the community? Is that the sense you have?
The sense I have is that people in general are looking for lower cost options, both for their recreation and for sort of their vacations are being spent at home. So I think what we're seeing is higher participation in a lot of our local recreation programs, and we're seeing higher uses of our local parks in this area because people are staying closer to home. So we're having more interest in our trail systems and more interest in our regional park systems so that they can kind of, you know, fill that recreational need closer to home and they don't have to go so far to look.
Does that mean more maintenance in the parks or more upkeep, things like that?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, there's got to be some ratio.
Absolutely. No, our maintenance crew is taxed heavily and they are hopping all the time. They are working 7 days a week and before everybody gets out of the facility and just after everybody leaves. And it's tight, but I think overall, wherever I go, people talk about how fantastic the facilities look and are maintained in Arcata, and that's what keeps people coming back.
So I was wondering if people are cleaning up after they're there or if it's more of the other attitude. We rented it, okay, boom, now part of our rental fees is going to clean up. Thank you very much.
Sure. We see all spectrums, I think, like any community does. We do. We have so many community members that just go above and beyond to clean up after themselves or
that's
to clean the lazy up
boy
after somebody
team.
Else. Yeah.
You know, maybe get a T-shirt or something like that, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We could, you know.
I'm not a lazy boy or girl.
Yeah, we could just walk the community and find those citizens. I see them every day that are out there just picking up after people. We
and see, you didn't think you
out.
Were going to get an idea
that's
from
right.
coming here, did
here
you?
It is.
Yeah.
The lazy boy T-shirt.
Sell a corporate sponsorship, and now you're ahead of the game. KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 345. Threats are being made during the commercial breaks. Not yet, my eye. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Karen Deemer. Karen, for those folks who have a weak mental illness and have decided to run for political office, there's a connection between those two comments I made. You guys have an opportunity for those in the community to be able to see, touch, feel, participate, ask questions, et cetera, with some of the candidates, hopefully all the candidates, running for office in November.
Yeah, we hope all the candidates will turn out to the city's candidate forum. It's sponsored by the Arcata Chamber of Commerce. The Mad River Union and the City of Arcata come together each council election series to do a candidate forum. And this year, the election is a little different in Arcata because we have actually three positions that are open for election. We have two positions that are four-year positions, and then we have one position that was vacated by Councilmember Brinton. So that's a two-year position. Because of how the elections are structured, those positions will go on separate ballot measures. So a candidate had to choose, do they want to run for a four-year position, of which we have two, or do they want to run for a two-year position, of which we have one position? So we have five candidates that are vying for the four-year position, including one incumbent, the mayor, Mark Wheatley, is rerunning for
Yeah, you better give him the title of mayor.
Yes.
At least for the next couple of months, huh?
And then there's four additional. So Alex Stillman has not put in papers to run again. So that position is completely vacant. And then there's four additional candidates that have signed up to run for those 2 4-year terms. And then we have the one vacant 2-year term that was vacated by Councilmember Brinton. And we have two candidates that have secured papers and signatures to run for that. But all seven are invited, and I believe will be attending the candidate forum this Thursday at 7 o'clock. The candidate forum is at the D Street Neighborhood Center, and it will also be broadcast live on KHSU.
I'm writing. I'm not giving pregnant pause for KHSU.
But it should be a good time to come out and to get to know all the candidates, because it's a significant election to have three positions.
I would think any election is significant, but then again, I don't understand 23% turnout. I just don't get it. What are you anticipating as the election turnout this year?
I think Arcata will exceed at least 50%. I mean, this is
oh really?
I do.
Shooting the moon?
I do. I think Arcata voters will come out for our local candidates.
That would be pleasing beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning also, but pleasing.
We'll see if it comes true.
If folks are interested in getting more information about the candidates, is that something that the city does? Is that something the League of Women Voters, you turn to that group? Where can folks go if they're looking? Because the absentees are out in 2 weeks?
Yeah, the city has candidate papers, hard copies at City Hall that anyone can come in and take a look at. A lot of the local media has covered pieces on each of the candidates, so I would encourage people, you know, to just look on the internet there. But the city does have the official candidate statements for each of the candidates if they want to come into City Hall and take a look at them.
Yeah, you have another 30 seconds. You ended too early on that.
Always.
Yeah. Is there a backside to those pieces of paper? Okay, fair enough. Again, that's Thursday.
This Thursday, 7 o'clock at the D Street Neighborhood Center, and we'll also be broadcast live.
Good. Thanks for almost repeating the whole thing. You saw Sanders walk by, didn't you? Yeah. All right. I knew there was something. Something was amok. Thanks for coming by, Karen. We've been Talking Shop with Karen Deemer. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.